The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something incredibly familiar, almost invisible, the echo.
Right, but we're not just talking about, you know, shouting into a canyon.
No, definitely not. We're diving into Amit Pinchevsky's book, Echo: Sound, Repetition, and Human Experience. And his argument is pretty bold.
It really is. He's saying the simple acoustic thing is basically the key to understanding ourselves, our tech, and why everything feels so connected yet so polarized now.
It's a fascinating challenge to how we usually think about communication.
Exactly. He takes the echo sound bouncing off a surface and turns it into this fundamental metaphor. It's not just a weak copy. It's actually how meaning gets made.
So that linear idea, I talk, you listen, message delivered. He just throws that out.
Pretty much. He wants us to see communication as reverberation, return, and transformation. It's way more complex. And the point of this deep dive, mirroring the book, really, is to develop what he calls echo literacy.
Yeah, basically learning to navigate this world full of echoes, these loops of communication. It's a critical skill today.
So who is Amit Pinchevsky? How does he connect, say, ancient myths to Twitter?
Well, he's a professor at the Hebrew University, Jerusalem. His background is in media theory, communication philosophy, phenomenology. He's really interested in the meaning behind it all.
Not just the tech specs, but the why and the ethics of it.
Precisely. He's done work before on the ethics of communication, looking at like the gaps and interruptions in how we connect, things like pauses, delays, failures.
That ethical angle seems really important here.
It is. It lets him pull together things that don't usually mix: mythology, psychoanalysis, trauma studies, digital media.
Yeah.
He connects, you know, basic sound physics to the moral weight of truly listening.
It's quite a synthesis.
Yeah, building this whole framework around something we usually just ignore.
Okay, let's try and unpack the core idea then. The echo, physical or metaphorical, is how meaning happens. So if it's not linear transmission, what is it?
Right. The key thing is this. Echoes are not just copies. They're not perfect repetitions.
Like shouting in that canyon again, what comes back sounds different, right? Wetter, maybe, or delayed?
Exactly. It carries traces of the journey, the shape of the space, the air, the time it took. The echo is changed.
And that change is where the meaning happens.
Yes. It's repetition with difference. That difference, that transformation on the return trip, that's where interpretation and relationship form.
Wow. So he starts with physics, like actual sound waves.
Uh-huh. Acoustic reflection.
And then expands that outwards to cover psychology, culture, history, everything.
Pretty much. He wants you to see all human interaction, from huge political debates down to, I don't know, a whispered secret, as this resonant loop, a call and a response.
Okay. And the book seems to explore this through different lenses, different domains.
Yeah, four main areas which give the book its structure.
So where does he start building this case? I gather he uses a pretty famous myth.
He does. The whole thing is anchored in the story of Echo and Narcissus. It's foundational for him.
The nymph and the hunter. How do they represent communication?
They're the two poles, the extremes. Echo, the nymph, is cursed, remember. She can only repeat the last words someone else says.
So she's purely responsive, relational dependent.
Exactly. Her whole being is defined by the other. She's tragic, but she represents that ethical, listening side of communication. She needs the other person's voice to even exist.
Okay, so if Echo is the relational pole, Narcissus must be the opposite.
Totally. He's the closed loop, self-referential. He falls for his reflection in the water.
Which Pinchevsky points out is a perfect copy, right? Not an echo.
Crucially, yes. It's not an echo because there's no difference, no alteration, no sign it came from somewhere else or traveled through anything.
So his tragedy isn't just vanity.
Pinchevsky says it's a failure of communication. The reflection offers no otherness, no response, just perfect sameness. Narcissus dies trapped in that loop, unable to connect even with himself because there's no external mediation, no balance.
That's a powerful reframing. Okay, from myth to the mind. How does this echo idea apply to, well, me? My identity, the psyche section.
Right. Here he brings in psychoanalysis, particularly Lacan's mirror stage.
Wow, Lacan, quick refresher. How does the mirror stage connect to echoes?
Okay, basically Lacan argued our sense of I, our self, isn't just there from birth. It forms when we, as infants, see ourselves reflected maybe literally in a mirror or figuratively in the eyes and words of our parents.
We internalize those reflections, those echoes.
Exactly. We internalize the echoes of others' voices, parents, society, culture. Our sense of self is built from how we hear ourselves reflected back.
So the mind isn't this sealed container. It's more like
a resonant chamber, yeah. Constantly shaped by these incoming, internalized voices. Pinchevsky even mentions things like echolalia, involuntary repetition of speech.
That's not just mimicry, then.
He suggests it can be this extreme manifestation, like a desperate need to use someone else's words, their echo, to try and find your own place, your own voice.
Wow. Okay, so if identity is built from these echoes, that must have huge implications for trauma.
It really does. Pinchevsky argues that traumatic memory is an echo. But it's a haunting one. Intrusive. It keeps coming back, uninvited, often fragmented, and hard to articulate.
Like a sound trapped, repeating inside.
Yes. And the act of giving testimony, of telling the story, is the attempt to finally give that internal echo an external voice. To let it out.
But it needs somewhere to land, right?
Absolutely critical. The listener is vital. You, the listener, become the ethical wall or surface.
The surface off which the survivor's voice can resonate.
Exactly. Bounce off and return to them, but this time, hopefully, validated, heard, made real in the shared space.
So if there's no receptive listener,
the echo just stays trapped inside. It highlights the huge moral responsibility of listening. It's not passive.
It's an active creation of space for the other.
Yeah. Which leads us directly into the final section, media.
Because media technologies are all about echoes, too.
Pinchevsky calls them echo machines, or the echo technique. Think about it from the earliest architecture designed to amplify sound.
Like cathedrals or amphitheaters?
Right. Or later, things like signal delay in radio or telegraphy. All designed to capture, store, reproduce, and return sounds, images, signals.
They're literally built to create echoes.
Uh-huh. But it's the digital landscape where this goes into overdrive.
Social media algorithm.
Bingo. He argues they create the ultimate echo chambers and filter bubbles.
Now, people talk about echo chambers all the time. How is his take different? Is it just hearing opinions you agree with?
It's deeper than that. It's not just agreement. It's the amplification and the lack of difference. These systems are designed to reflect back our own choices, our preferences, our data selves.
But amplified.
Yeah.
And maybe distorted.
Yes. And crucially, they often filter out difference, filter out the other. So we risk ending up like Narcissus, trapped in a loop, hearing only louder versions of ourselves, mistaking that for the whole world.
That really makes you think about your feed differently.
Yeah,
okay, this is a lot. Let's try and pull out maybe three core themes that really stand out.
Good idea.
First one seems to be communication isn't transmission, it's reverberation. Meaning happens in the return journey.
Yeah, that difference between the call and the echo. That's where interpretation lives. That's where the relationship is negotiated.
So in an argument, it's not just what I said, but how it landed with you, how it echoed off your own experiences, and what came back.
Exactly. It complicates things, but probably makes them more accurate to reality.
Okay, theme two. The self is made of echoes. Our identity isn't just internal, it's formed by the other, by hearing ourselves reflected back.
We need that external surface, that other person, that society, to bounce off of, to give our own sound shape.
Which explains maybe that pressure for external validation, like on social media.
It could, yeah. The risk, Pinchevsky warns, is if the only echo we seek or receive is just amplified self-affirmation. That's the narcissistic trap. Again, perfect reflection, no growth, no real connection.
And theme three, which we touched on with trauma, the ethics of listening. Listening isn't passive. It's an active moral act.
It's about providing that resonant surface. Creating the space for someone else's voice, especially maybe voices that are usually marginalized or silenced, to actually be heard and validated.
So less about thinking of your reply while someone's talking.
And more about just being that receptive wall that allows their voice to complete its circuit, to return to them affirmed.
The book sounds like it's packed with these kinds of memorable phrases or core ideas.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you have these really concise ways of putting things that stick with you.
Let's share a few first. The echo is never a mere repetition. It is repetition with difference, carrying the traces of its journey across time and space.
Yeah, that just completely undermines the idea that originality is everything. The echo, because it carries that history of its environment, can actually be richer.
Second, that reframing of Narcissus. Narcissus did not die from self-love, but from a failure of communication. His reflection was a perfect copy, not an echo. It offered no difference, no otherness, and no response.
It drives home that the tragedy was the immediacy, the lack of mediation. He couldn't relate because there was no otherness in what he saw, even though it was himself.
The third one feels very contemporary. In an age of digital media, we are all living inside technological echo chambers of our own making, surrounded by the reverberations of our choices and preferences.
It's a direct warning, isn't it, about how algorithms are literally architecting our reality, building these chambers around us. We have to actively work against that.
Which brings us to, okay, what do we do with this? How does this echo literacy apply in real life?
Right. It's not just abstract theory. It has practical implications.
For instance, in just talking to people, improving communication.
Exactly. Try to consciously be that resonant surface. You could literally reflect back. Okay, so what I think I'm hearing you say is X. Is that right?
Giving space, pausing, acknowledging that you're building the meaning together in that space between you.
Yeah. And then there's digital citizenship.
Conducting a personal media audit, as he suggests.
Kind of. If you know algorithms are feeding you echoes of yourself, you need to actively break that. Seek out different views, challenging perspectives.
Be skeptical if your feed feels too comfortable and affirming.
Definitely. That comfort might just be the sound of your own voice bouncing back, amplified.
And maybe on a more personal, internal level. Self-awareness.
Yeah, when you're wrestling with those persistent doubts or those really rigid beliefs you have.
Ask yourself, whose voice is this really?
Right. Is it genuinely mine? Or is it an echo of a parent? A teacher, some societal pressure I've internalized, it helps untangle things.
What was the biggest takeaway for you reading this, or the most surprising thing?
For me, I think it was the profound idea that the past isn't really past. It's constantly echoing in the present. It changes how you think about memory, history, even trauma. It's all still resonating.
Yeah, that hit me too. The idea that we're not just sending messages out there, but that the reverberations come back almost instantly and shape the world we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm. It really underscores that challenge Pinchesky leaves us with, developing this echo literacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about understanding tech. It's about ethical wisdom, too. Knowing how to listen, how to speak, how to just be in this incredibly complex, echoing world. That's really vital book for our times.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation,